over the past several weeks, one of the greatest outcries in the midst of our society and our social upheaval that's been going on has been the idea of social equality and social equity. There's been a lot of phrases that have been used, and I don't want to become political this morning to take one side or the other. I want to share with you something that the Lord's laid on my heart from His Scripture. And I would say to you that yes, there definitely does need to be some changes. I want to ask you to notice with me, though, that those changes, rather than being, quote, progressive changes or new changes or radical changes, those changes need to be the return to a biblical standard.
Amen.
And I want to ask you to notice with me that standard today as expressed in Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, and particularly verse 12, because in this standard creates a standard in which everyone is recognized the same. Lord, help us in Your Word today to understand Your will, Your purpose, and Your place in our life. Lord, rather than us looking off somewhere else, may we each one look within. May we examine ourselves. May we commit ourselves to live by Your standard. This is my prayer for Christ's sake. And amen. I ask you to read with me, please, from Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You'll notice that this passage begins with the word therefore, and I'm not going to go back and read all among the preceding verses that set the stage for those words. But you can go back and read the few verses immediately prior to this, and you'll find that it talks in those verses about how God gives us what we need. He talks about the fact that He makes a comparison. He says, which one of you has a child or a son who asks bread of you or ask a gift of you, and you give him something that's opposite of what he needs and is harmful to what he needs? If you think that way, God's greater than you are, and God in His provision provides what we need. Therefore, because of God's goodness, because of God's provision for us, because of God's compassion upon us, because of God's nature, in His own righteousness, that right hand of righteousness that Emerson and Emily Grace reminded us of in that song, that God will uphold us. Therefore, now it becomes more than just simply a statement, well, God's going to do this for me. Now it becomes how I do toward someone else. Therefore, whatsoever ye would, because of God's provision, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For such is the law and the prophets. That's what God has said. That's what God has commanded. Now I want you to notice three phrases that's in that verse. Jesus, by the way, remember, He is the speaker. here. This is part of that saying that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, whatsoever. You'll notice that's a pretty broad statement. But what Jesus is saying is, in the scope of your life, in the scope of my life, whatever, not in this little box or that little box or an occasional reference, whatsoever. Now, folks, if I can do just this one thing today, you understand that the scope of the Word of God surpasses all of our life. Talked with Brother Clayton about that book that he had in his hands, that Bible. It's been good for him through the first 18 years of life, 17 or 18 years of life in school. It's the same thing. Whatsoever he comes to deal with, whatsoever you would like for men to do to you, everything. That includes personal life. That includes business life. That includes church life. That includes society. That includes in my private time. However I want to be treated. You see, God's provision of grace affects interpersonal relationships. Well, yeah, they affect our family. Well, they affect a whole lot more than our immediate family. They affect husbands and wives. They affect parents and children. But they affect whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. Okay? Do ye even so to them. Now, what I want you to see in that verse, brothers and sisters, is that that verse puts the onus of that thought squarely on my shoulders. First decision is, how do I want men to treat me? I have to make up my mind. How do I want to be treated? How do I want to be respected? How do I want to be looked at? That's my determination. It's your determination. Now, once I've determined how I want to be treated, now it becomes my responsibility to bring it to pass as I treat other men, other individuals, exactly that way. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Now I understand, okay, that there are in within each of us, within all mankind, the reality that sin is present. Men don't always do what they ought to. But you know the one thing that with all of humanity's failings, and if you look back over history, there's been a lot of them. But with all of humanity's failings, Jesus never excuses my responsibility. He doesn't give me the option of deciding, well, they're not going to do what they're supposed to, so I'm going to do something different too. No, it's whatever you want men. It's not what they are doing. It's what you want men to do to you. Do you even so to them. Now, I want you to notice with me a couple of passages in the Old Testament. You see, even in the Old Testament, you know, that Jesus said that passage was the law and the prophets. This was the message from Moses and the prophets. You treat others like you want to be treated. This is not a new proposition. This is a reminder of what God has always had in place. You see, even in the Old Testament, there were those who claimed that God didn't treat people equally. Well, where do you get that idea, preacher? From God Himself. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 18. We're going to look at two passages of Scripture in this chapter. But I want you to notice particularly, beginning at verse 23. Ezekiel chapter 18, beginning at verse 23. God is the speaker. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? In other words, God sets a standard, but he doesn't take joy at sitting up there and say, "Aha, gotcha." He's almighty, and he sits in heaven. But he doesn't take pleasure at the failure of men. He holds the standard and he does not excuse it. That's why Jesus Christ came to die. But what he wants us to know is, when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. All the good things that he might do does not excuse transgression. But by the same token, and here's where the statement is, yet you say, the way of the Lord is not equal. God doesn't treat people equally. Oh, if I've been a pretty good fellow all my life, and I turn away from it later in life, then I've done enough to... No. God has a standard for us for all of our life. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways, your ideas, unequal? You remember what he said through Isaiah? My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God's standard is above what we think, because we are affected by sin. His standard doesn't change. When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Again, now, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord. Here's the kicker. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Now understand this passage of Scripture that talks about a man dying. That this is not a matter of me seeing somebody that I think is not doing what he ought to and giving me the position of being judge, jury, and executioner all at the same time. Why? They may have made the mistakes, but if they turn and come back, it will not be ruin. You see, in the book of Proverbs, God reminds us through Solomon's wisdom There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's a way of ruin, a way of separation from God. Unrepentant sin, ungodliness will keep the ungodly away from God. But it will put up a wall between us and God. But what I want you to see is God says, okay, here's the equality of things. You're walking in righteousness, stay in righteousness. If you turn away from that righteousness, then you stand in unrighteousness. If you've been walking in unrighteousness and you turn back, then you stand in righteousness. Unrighteousness brings judgment. Righteousness brings forgiveness. You see, that's God's standard all the time. That's why, in order to assure the salvation of His people, He poured out judgment upon Jesus Christ in order that we would have His righteousness. But our misbehavior will still bring ruin. But now there's another thing I want you to go back on this 18th chapter and look at the first four verses. You see, I can't point a finger at what went on previously about my circumstance. Well, I'm bad this way because so-and-so created that circumstance. Our learning, our background, our family, they have an impact on us. But when God calls us by His Word, even that doesn't stop us from turning in repentance. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, father or child, the soul that sinneth shall die. You see, what he's saying is you can't blame today's circumstance on past generations. You live today by making your decision of how you want men to treat you. And you treat them that way. Well, my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was a horse thief. Okay. That don't mean you have to be a horse thief today. You see, we're all souls in God's hands. And He doesn't deal with us based on previous generations. He deals with us based on how we behave ourselves. That brings us back to Jesus' words. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. Now understand, this is not a matter of saying, well, I want people I would want them to save me, so I want them to save them. It's not about salvation. It's about behavior. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. You see, much of what I'm hearing today seems to carry with it an idea of retribution and vengeance. It hadn't been right. This person's doing wrong. That person's doing wrong. Much of culture today seems to be couched in an idea of vengeance. I would ask you to notice Romans chapter 12. And look with me at verse 17. Recompense, pay back to no man evil for evil. You don't want people to do evil toward you? Don't do it toward them. Well, they've done so and so. That doesn't excuse what God said. There are laws. We have to trust God to handle some things. Our responsibility is how our behavior goes. Recompense to no man evil for evil. By the way, this is the same for everybody. God's expectations is not just the same for this group. Let everybody else. This is the standard to which our country needs to return as a whole. This is the standard which men need to turn as a whole. They probably won't. They will not. All men have not faith. But I'll leave that in God's hand. My responsibility is to say to you, and your responsibility before God is to do what God tells you to do. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, if it be possible. And that's an interesting statement. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. You see, ours ought not be a society prefaced in any way upon vengeance. That's in God's hands. Ours is to be a society, our part of society is to be prefaced on what we want men to do to us. Therefore, if thine enemy hungry, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, if there be any consolation in Christ, we live in Christ, right? That's our hope. The work of Jesus Christ. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You see, if I want to treat men, if I want men to treat me that way, then I have to esteem them. If I want them to look at me with respect, then I have to respect them. I have to be willing to put myself at such a place in humility that I act toward others. If that's what I want, okay, and this applies to everybody, not just to us. It does apply to us. But Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of those in chapter 7, verse 12. They were standing around there. They didn't do what they were supposed to, but He didn't change what He said. He didn't change it today either. Live peaceably with all men. Leave vengeance in God's hand. Esteem others more highly than ourselves. You see, we're not given license in God's book to stand and point fingers and make our decisions based on what somebody else is doing. We're not given license to choose our behavior to match what somebody else is doing. Especially those who profess the name of Christ. Let all who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And if I do, then I can't say, I'll depart from it unless they don't. You see, it becomes our testimony of how we walk in this world. People understand the love of God by the way we demonstrate that love. We're the shoe leather where God's love meets the road. Now, I would say to you this morning, folks, while there are many, many layers of history, emotion, politics, and a lot of other things that come into play in our society, the starting place has to be with me. We sang the song, "Let there be peace on earth." I think it was a couple of weeks ago. "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." Well, how does it begin? I can't wave a wand and make peace. No, but I can commit myself to live at peace with other men. I'll let God handle the other side. "Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For such is the law and the prophet." That verse concludes with two other verses. These are two verses that have a lot of different applications, a lot of different opinions. But you'll notice that there's two gates that are spoken of here. There's a broad gate, and there's the straight and narrow. The broad gate leads to destruction. It's easy to find. There's many that walk that way. Narrow gate leads to life, and not destruction. That's a little harder. Few there be that find it. Just remember when you use that term "few," remember the Bible talks about the chosen few, God's chosen few, God's elect family from among the nations of the world. Even at that, they're said to be more than any man can number. So when we talk about "few be that find it," it's not just one or two. Okay? But it's easy to go the world's way. But the results are hard. It's harder to go God's way. But the results are better. Today, go God's equitable way. If there's sin in our life, turn away from it, knowing that He'll forgive. Don't expect Him to pat us on the back if we choose to behave sinfully. "Lord, what do I want men to do toward me? How do I want men to treat me? Lord, help me to treat everyone who comes my way exactly that way. Forgive me when I fail. Draw me in mercy. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen."